Hi there, folks. This is the Bell Wright Real Estate Show, episode 71. It's our Thanksgiving week show, folks. We haven't got a guest this week, but we're going to do something quite interesting. I'd like to introduce my co-host to you before we get started, and that is Thomas J. Nelson. Like to introduce yourself, Thomas?
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes. Well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and to all our listeners. And my name is Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in beautiful San Diego, California. And you can find me on my website, thomasjnelsonrealtor.com.
Yeah, it's a terrible place to live, isn't it, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm suffering through it.
Shocking, terrible, isn't it? You're really roughing it, aren't you? I live quite close to Lake Tahoe and the Sierra Mountains. So I live also in a quite beautiful area. So you could take the mickey out of me a little bit as well, couldn't you, Thomas? So what we're going to do this week, folks, is that Thomas had an excellent suggestion. Thomas has been a big user and supporter of Active Rain. Before we start, actually, Thomas, it's just occurred to me, can you give some detail about Active Rain and why you use it and what it is, basically?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's a blog site. It's where the real estate industry goes at large. So it's actually the largest real estate industry blogging site in the country. And it hosts over 250,000 realtors who blog on there, exchange ideas, problem solve. I can post a challenge, a problem, a question, post an idea and get feedback. It's also a networking site and a referral exchange portal, if you will. It's one of my pipelines for by referral business.
Yeah, it's still very active, isn't it? And if you're new to the industry or you want to continue to build relationships with fellow real estate agents, it's quite insightful, isn't it? You can learn a lot by just reading. And I think anybody new to the industry should really join it and
read. I would definitely encourage them because, you know, Jonathan, the great thing about Active Rain is it's kind of a safe place to ask those questions that you're afraid to ask your associates in your office because you don't maybe want to let on that you don't know what you don't know. So this is a place where you can ask anything on your mind about how to run your business, procedures in your business, to a certain extent. And every state's different with their laws, but there's enough realtors from every state and Canada in there to get some healthy answers to any question that's on your mind.
Yeah, so I think it's quite good. So what Thomas suggested was that we look at some of the most popular questions. What time period did you utilize for the year or something? Or was there any time period or...
There was. What I did is I grabbed all the featured questions, which means the most answered questions, which typically means they hit a hot button with these agents that answered them. So the average question got over 40 responses, which is high for a question in Active Rain. And I used a 6-month time period. So,
that's good. So these are hot, folks. So we agreed, we got quite a few questions here, but we chose the ones that kind of stuck out to us. So I'm going to, some of them are a little bit techie, most of them around the real estate industry, and I'm sure you're going to get. So I'm going to ask Thomas what, you know, you've got a lot of experience in this industry. So I'm going to ask you this question and see what your response, and hopefully, folks, you're going to get a lot of value from this. I'm sure it's going to be fun, actually. So we're going to start off with this question from Active Rain. Do you buy leads? If so, where do you buy them from? If not, why not? So what's your response to that, Thomas?
Well, I'm going to clarify, all my responses today are going to be my opinion based on my experience. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that this is the way you have to do it, but this is the way, through my experience, I've seen best practices. So I do not buy leads. I fell victim to buying leads early in my career because of the promise that the people selling you those leads make. And they just what they neglect to tell you is they're, first of all, selling those leads to multiple agents. So a lot of times if you actually call on those leads, those people are so tired of getting hammered on by agents that, you know, if you're unfortunate to be number four or five on the list of callers to them, you're going to hear some colorful language or a quick hang up. So, and not all these leads are actual leads, by the way. They're not people saying, hey, I'm ready to buy or sell real estate. They're people that essentially were an impression on a website where their information was captured. So they might have just been looking at houses for the fun of it, or they might have been checking on how to refi, what the rates are, or something like that. So the quality of the leads are pretty low to begin with. Now, I know agents that will counter me on this because they do quite well with them, but they have a budget that allows them to spend several thousand dollars a month.
Oh, and to, it's not going to be the agents. It's going to be me that's going to disagree with you, Thomas. Yeah. But right, go on.
Yep. So now what I do for leads is I dive into my own database. So what I do is I market to and build relationships with the people I've already sold to, the people I'm currently working with, and all my networking partners. That's my style, but I've never been a cold caller. So that's probably why leads, first of all, don't appeal to me. But second of all, like I said, historically, I've been burned by buying leads. I've never gotten my money's worth out of it. I would imagine a team with a system probably could extract better results than a solo person like myself. But I would love to hear your opinion on it, because I've heard you speak on this before.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do agree with a lot of what you've said. My position is midway between yours, because this is a blatant plug, folks, for my own company, Mailrite. That's what we're about, folks. But we're about also doing, helping the agent do all the things that Thomas does already. Basically, what we try and help is get more, keep you in front of your biggest referral resource, people that already know you on a regular basis online. What we try and what we try and help you with is exactly what you should be doing in the real world. The more you show yourself, the more you go to functions, the more people you take out for coffee, the more that you build your relationships in your local community, the more likely they are going to refer to you, aren't they, Thomas?
That's exactly right.
That's what we try and help online. So that's less of the plug, folks. What we do is we try and help you build your database of emails. And then through the power of Facebook, we show you, we retarget you to these people that already know you. And also through the power of Facebook, we can show you to people that are very similar to the people that you already got in your list, and then show them a lead capture. Where I totally agree with you, Thomas, is you've got to be very upfront. One of the things that Mailrite does, it sells exclusive zip codes to an agent. An agent buys one zip code area in our Premier Elite product, and they'd be the only agent that we're showing the lead capture to, right? So we're not selling that zip code to multiple agents. So that's number one. And there's similar products that give guarantees like that, Thomas. But you are right. What you've got to be very upfront with agents. The it does depend on the Facebook advertisement. We've been running a campaign for some agents recently, and they're aimed at sellers. They offer a checklist. The lead magnet offers a checklist which you can utilize to prepare your house for selling. So it really depends on the wording of the advert, and when they go to a landing page that we design, we do all this for the agent, what the lead magnet is. See, that's a very specific lead magnet, isn't it, Thomas?
Yeah. Well, and you know, see the difference between though what we're kind of talking about buying leads versus what you do, because I've seen what you do. I'm trying out your services and product myself, and you don't just hand off people this list and say good luck to you. You've got your money and they're off on their own. You're actually supporting these agents all along the way and helping them build the relationship with each of these leads. And I would say that any agent that is going to buy a zip code should be very present in that zip code so that it's not really a cold zip code for them. Yeah. And then if they incorporate all the techniques and the systems that you put in place, there's a lot bigger chance of a success rate than what typically you're doing is just buying a list and that's it.
Yeah, see, with that one, the thing I just described, folks, is that we still cannot guarantee that they're sellers. We just cannot do that. But what we're trying to do is the best we can. So those, the volume's going to be down because we're aiming at our lead magnet and our advert is really aimed at sellers. And we target a specific zip code for the agent. When it comes to the large portals, I do agree. I think the large portals can help get your business going or get you to a stage where you're looking for growth. You're looking to get a couple buyer agents to work directly for you, and you're looking to become a bespoke agent, a power agent when you've got a small team and you need to get more volume through the door.
Right.
But I know agents that totally their whole business is based on the portals, and I think that's not the right way. I think they can be used. They can be used effectively, but you also need to be building up your relationships and your referral network in your community as well. I think it's a balance, and people right. tend to go. This is just my position, just like yours, Thomas. People tend to go to one extreme to the other, where
right.
in the right circumstances. When it comes to the portals, the quality is going to be pretty low. And
right. You got to diversify.
Well, they it's very clear because a couple of the leading portals, they offer extra service where they get people in their team to ring up these leads and they cleansify them. What they mean is they clarify if these people are really looking to buy or sell. So they offer that as an additional service which you have to pay for. So you don't really have to know any more than that, really. But the other factor is you're going to be inundated, but the problem is you also really got, like what you just said at the beginning, these leads are going to be given to multiple agents in the portals network. So you're going to have to be the first one that contacts. So you're really under pressure to contact these people. I don't think it's the most attractive scenario, is it?
Well, I mean, not if you're a solopreneur. If you're out, your best use of time is the relationships you've already built or are building. I think you hit it though. If you're trying to build a team, I mean, the only reason to have a team is because you have too many leads to work as an individual. So you you got to keep other people busy. Mm-hmm. So these make sense to some degree, but to me, it's one pipeline of many that you need to have because, you know, otherwise you're going to end up like a lot of the hotels did when, you know, Zillow, who is also Expedia, you know, Expedia basically tells all the hotels what the rates are going to be. And that's what's going to happen to these agents that solely depend on leads as their main pipeline. Suddenly, one day, they're going to be told by the provider of those leads, potentially, hey, if you're going to take these leads, we're going to recommend you offer them at this fee. And suddenly you're not in control of your own business. I think, you know, and you mentioned the call centers that these lead sources, you know, I've heard that Zillow had to create that because their leads reputation was taking such a hit. They had to do something to shore up that reputation. So they started cleansing the leads for agents. For fear of losing that business.
Yeah, and they charge for that. All right, let's go on because Do you know we're 14 minutes in this?
I know. You got me on my
soapbox. We just have one question. My God. Let's go for number two. 1 week before closing on a higher-end listing, her appraisal comes in very late at 4% below purchase price. Seller will only move forward if you chip in. I love that. Yeah. Chip in and reduce your fee. Your response.
Well, this is an actual scenario that happened to an agent friend of mine in Active Rain, and it's a scenario that comes up a lot in our industry. Let me preface this by saying that this actually shouldn't even happen if you are, as a professional, giving the appropriate price recommendation for the listing. You're the pro. Your client has castle syndrome. They always think they've got the best house on the block. Your job is kind of that of a transporter. You have to transport people from fantasy to reality and get the right price in there so that the appraisal is not an issue to begin with. But if that comes up, you know, my response to the seller is typically, first of all, my fee is going to reduce naturally because it's a percentage that rides on the actual sales price. So it will go down. Also, I kind of give them a couple antidotes. I'm not going to negotiate in the middle of surgery with my heart surgeon. I'm pretty much assuming the fees that we've agreed on prior to surgery are the fees we're going to finish surgery with. And I wouldn't want to be negotiating. It's kind of like insulting your waiter. I mean, I'm the guy that's defending your price and defending your money, and you're coming at me instead of, how about let's go for the buyer? Why don't we put the pressure on the buyer? You know, we're a team. We're a united front. But if the home is priced properly, that reduces that scenario to begin with. But no, I don't. I let my clients know that we've negotiated my fee up front. I'm not renegotiating my fee during any part of the process.
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm not an active agent and I haven't got the years and years and years experience like you. But I'm just what I've heard in the industry, because I've been active in it for a while now, is appraisals. You can get appraisals can be all over the place. Is that true?
Oh yeah. We always joke about the appraisals during the football season here. We never want an appraiser to come in after a Chargers game, because if the Chargers lost, it could affect the appraisal. But and they're kind of like referees. Everyone's going to make a different call. Supposedly using the same set of guidelines, but I think local knowledge plays into it. An appraiser has to know the area to get a proper appraisal in part. And the problem these days is with the appraisers being, you know, we used to be able to call up our appraiser and have them come out to all our deals, but that's gone. Ever since the Great Depreciation, what we ended up with now is a lottery system. So we never know who our appraiser is going to be or where they hail from. They could be from North County coming all the way down 30 minutes south to Chula Vista and not really have a clue about the neighborhood, which is why I go back to our job as a professional is to let our clients know, based on what the market says their home is worth, what the appropriate price bracket would be to price the home, which is no different than, you know, like your doctor is not going to let you prescribe the medicine. Your doctor prescribes the medicine based on a bunch of questions they ask you and what they assess. And we're the same as a doctor. You know, if we don't see our own value as professionals, that's when we get railroaded. When we just are so desperate to get the deal that we'll compromise our professionalism to get it, that's when agents get into this kind of trouble. And unfortunately, once in a while, this might cost you a deal to have these principles, but you know, you can work with people that steal your joy, or you can work with the people that bring joy to the business. It's your call.
I would strongly advise you folks to listen to what Thomas has just said, because I think he's giving you some really strong advice there, folks. We're going to go for our break now, folks. I'm going to add my little bit before our commercial break, which is from our sponsor. That's Easy Agent Pro. They do a really lovely website solution that's really focused in getting leads from your website. Tyler, their CEO, was a guest on the show, folks. They decided to become a sponsor of the show. his team showed me the back end of the website system. And I suggest that you, if you're looking for a website solution that's a little bit on steroids, that can actually really help your business, that's at a very fair price. Go and have a look at Easy Agent Pro. So we'll be back in a minute, folks, and we'll be talking more about some of the most popular questions on Active Rain. Be back in a minute.
Interested in a website that uses modern lead capture to help you generate real estate leads from blogs, SEO, and social media? Well, if you are, then you need LeadSites. LeadSites uses custom apps to help agents get better results online. Learn more by going to easyagentpro.com. That's easyagentpro.com. And when you're at the site, make sure you look at the bullet points, see everything that it does. Easy Agent Pro is excited to be a proud sponsor of the Real Estate Agent Podcast.
We're coming back, folks. We're going to be discussing more Active Rain questions here. It's been quite fascinating so far. So we're going to go for number three. If a former client asks you to pick your brain because they are planning for sell by owner their house, how would you respond?
Well, it was interesting on this question. I saw a lot of polar opposites. There, some people were offended by the notion of somebody coming to you and saying, I need your help so I can sell my own house. Right now, I believe it's 8% of America does sell their own house. So that's just a fact. And it's always been around 8 to 10% of Americans have sold their own homes. That's their right. I look at it as going to court without an attorney, but if they want to do it, that's fine. Now, what I'll do is I'll give them all the help I can, because here's where my head goes. I might not be getting their sale or their listing, that is, but I'm going to get their sale, because if they sell their house, likely they're going to go buy a house. So I throw my hat in the ring and say, hey, look, I'm happy to help you, but I'm by helping you, I'm also applying for the job of representing you when you buy. I'm also in the back of my mind knowing the NAR statistics that about 90% of people that try to sell their own home quickly within the next 30 days hire a realtor, because they realize there's a heck of a lot more to this than they thought. You know, especially if they're working full-time jobs, their job is not to be a realtor. It's to do whatever they do to earn their living. And real estate is a full-time job, folks. I mean, there was a time where you could do it part-time, I'm told, but I've never been in the industry. I'm going on 18 years licensed and 20 years total. It's always been a full-time job from my perspective. So I do help them. Quite frankly, most of the people that would do that would be people I know anyhow. So I'm going to keep that relationship intact.
Yeah, I think that is another fantastic answer, Thomas. You know, I think the court saying it's a bit like going in court and trying to defend yourself, is such a great way of putting it. And I totally agree with you. Obviously, you can't spend all day with them, but I would try and kill them with love.
Right.
I'll just send them, I would have a little quick pack of some links and have a written little handout already prepared, because I'm sure you do get these on a regular basis. And I'll send it to them and I'll say, go and do some research. And then I would say this in a way, folks, but I do honestly believe it. I think you've got to be bonkers to try and sell your largest financial asset in most people's lives, and you're going to try and do a DIY job, you know.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to end the best way, do you?
No, I mean, some people get through it. You know, and Jonathan, before we go too much further, you made a great point that I neglected to make, and that is I limit what I tell them, because I live in California, and liability is number one on my mind. So I do not get into the minutiae of their deal. I give them broad stroke information, which is largely, like you were saying, links or paper handouts that I'll send them to appease their questions. But I do not get into the details of their deal.
You cannot do that. Well, you can, but Thomas is listen to Thomas, folks. Do not do that. That's suicidal, isn't it, Thomas?
Yeah. You know, another trick you can use, though, or I hate to call it a trick, but a technique, is you can always offer to lower your fee and just do the paperwork. If you're not going to go through the wear and tear and expense of marketing the property or negotiating the deal, you could, in fact, do a lower fee for them and just say, hey, look, let me help you organize all the paperwork and keep it all legit and legal so that you don't miss anything. You know, because an average real estate file when it's closed is 400 to 600 pages. I mean, it's a pretty thick deal.
Have you seen the amount of paperwork agent, or even if they've got assistants or firms helping them, have you lately seen the amount of paperwork that goes into a house selling, folks?
Yeah. Well, especially in California.
Or in Nevada. Right. I'm going to switch it. I'm going to switch four to five. So number four, what's better, having a vlog or having a blog? I suppose they mean a video or YouTube, don't they, or something?
They call them vlogs for short, but it's basically a video blog versus a written blog. And for me, the answer to that is really, I do both. I'm comfortable on the camera and hosting my own video shorts. I also enjoy writing. So I think it really is going to come down to, where's your talent and where's your comfort? Do you like to write? Because a forced blog is not going to be read. It's not going to be effective. And if you're uncomfortable on camera, that's going to look awkward and probably do more damage than good. So unless it shit goes viral, sometimes you see some of the most awkward things become brilliant marketing pieces, but those are hard to determine. So to me, it's wherever your comfort level is and whatever your time allows to put out a quality product, whether it's a blog, vlog, or in my case, I do both. I do lean heavier on the blog because I love to write, but I have incorporated video in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I totally agree with Thomas again. But the thing I would say is consistency, folks.
Absolutely.
And this is where, for understandable reasons, many people in the industry start off, well, I'm going to blog this and I'm going to produce a video. And consistently, it takes a lot consistently to produce a weekly podcast, doesn't it, Thomas?
Absolutely.
But you know, it's just the same with a blog and video, or I say that with a blog, is that also you've got to try and always be in your mind repurposing it. How many platforms can I use this? Can I cut it up a bit? Can I send it out as part of my newsletter? Can I put it on Facebook? Can I cut it up a bit and have a series of posts on Facebook? Can I use the video on my website, on Facebook, on Twitter? You've got to be always in your mind repurposing, haven't you, Thomas?
Absolutely. That's exactly why I write a lot of the blogs or do the videos the way I do, because they're not overly specific and they can be repurposed. Although, you know, we will do specific videos for listings and or certain topics. But as you've brought up many times on this show, that, you know, the term is evergreen. You want something that can be reused often, that doesn't get dated. You know, there are certain principles in real estate that never change. The tools will always change, but the techniques are pretty much the same. So you can talk on the techniques and do current on tools or trends.
Yeah, it's actually, I'll find the link and I'll send it to Thomas, but it's a brokerage in San Francisco. They do deal with some of the most highest priced homes in the Bay Area, folks, so say no more. But what I loved about their website was the use of video with... You see in a lot of sites, and I'm not having a go, Thomas, so I understand it, but they have... they do have like a school section or area sections, but it's very canned material,
yes.
Or very, very lightweight. These are the areas where you really can produce some really, if I was doing it, if I was comfortable in the with the camera. I would have a video in front of a something that stands out in each specific area, and do a video about that area, and then I would write a really nice detailed post, which then I would also support it. I'll spend a little bit of money having a graphic designer, and I would have a downloadable PDF which would have more detail if the person would give their name and an email address to get that more detailed PDF, and that would be your lead magnet.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
But I see so many agent websites. They do have those areas, but when you look at it, it's either a third party tool or it's very lightweight. And these are the areas where you really do want to spend a bit of time, because Google, if you support the clients, love video, and Google will love the written content. And then if you've got the lead magnet, which is the PDF, it becomes a really strong way of building up your database.
It does. I mean, you can't rely on a templated website. You need something that's going to grab people's attention and keep them there. And I find that, you know, we're definitely going video. I mean, Facebook's all about, you know, Facebook Live and the video component they've added. The one thing I will caution is you don't want to do a video on your opinion of a neighborhood or a school in a way that makes you liable. If you give out wrong information, there's a lot of liability in there. So I would, you know, I tend to stay away from like schools or commenting.
I would slightly disagree with you, Thomas, but you're totally right. Don't say, "Oh, this, I think this is a terrible school." Just the facts. Facts speak for themselves. You know, how many children, you know, graduate? What are their overall scores? You don't have to go into your opinions. The facts are easily available and they speak for themselves. Would you agree, Thomas?
I do agree with that. Thank you. Yes.
if the school can't, you know, almost 80% of the students don't graduate, that really speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Well, there's plenty of landmarks and tourist attractions or benefits to living in a particular neighborhood that you can speak on. And as you made a great point, you know, stick to the facts. People can form their own opinions.
If you go listen to Thomas again, he's spot on again, folks, because if you start giving your opinions in it, it ain't going to end pretty, is it, Thomas?
No. And, and it's immortalized on the internet.
Right, on to the next one. I'm still trying to figure out what day to take off from your business. Do you take a solid day off? I'm interested to hear what Thomas thinks about this.
This is probably my most debated topic on Active Rain. I am a huge proponent of having a day off, a day to recharge, to not deal with the business. So yes, my answer is yes. Now, I did not always take a day off, but I'll be very candid with you, Jonathan. In part, that played into my divorce. I'm remarried now, and I want to stay married, so I've set up boundaries. Agents can't go 24/7. The analogy I was always given once I realized I needed a day off was, you would not go to a brain surgeon that never took a day off. I mean, you don't want to go into your brain surgeon's office and see a bunch of Red Bull cans and empty coffee mugs, and he never takes a day off. He never takes a vacation. Maybe his home life is suffering. That all comes to the office with you. So, you can pick the day, and I know agents that take two half days. They don't feel comfortable doing a whole day. That's fine. I chose Sundays because it's the least volatile day. It's when most people are least likely to want to do business. And I rarely have to defend it at this point. I've been taking Sundays off for almost 10 years. So, but you could pick the day that works best for you and your schedule. You can do half days, but I think taking time off to recharge, to pursue your personal goals, your personal hobbies and the things that bring you joy, like, you know, your family and your going out and playing a game of golf or whatever it is. If you don't go out and recharge, you're not bringing the best to your client. You're bringing what's left of you to your clients. And this is the biggest investment they're making in their lives potentially, and you're responsible for representing them on it. They need you sharp. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think, funny enough, I was reading, it's kind of linked to what you just said, which I totally agree again, Thomas. It was on a British newspaper website, it's The Guardian, and I think it was The Guardian or Telegraph. And it was, I think it was the Los Angeles Times, actually. It was basically sleep research. It was an article done in 2011. It had been updated. And do you think, you know, most people, they say you need 8 hours sleep, but people say you can get away with six. Do you think, do you think it makes a big difference?
You know, that's a great question, because I think it just depends on the individual, lot of things, their environment, their age, their health. All I can speak on is me. I get between 6 and 8 hours sleep, eight, not as often as six, but I function really well on six, but I also shut down at a specific time every day. I'm not an open-ended closing time in my business during the week. You know, I shut down at 6 o'clock, and the only thing I'll do after six is respond to a text, because that's simple. But I'm not checking emails and I'm not returning calls, and my clients know that. You know, a lot of this is setting it up from the day one. When you meet your client, you just let them know, these are the hours I work. This is the day I take off. I will make you a priority the next day if you call after my cutoff. But this is the promise I've made to my family, and it's the guarantee I've made to my clients that I'm going to show up every day ready to work and be at my best, because I go home and I can rest at night and I can take a full day off, and I don't feel any level of burnout anymore like I used to. I mean, burnout was a huge factor.
Well, this research, it was a bit of an eye-opener for me, because it, obviously I would have to look into it, because I do think there probably is some kind of, instinctively, I still think there's some personal element to it. But they took quite a large sample. I can't remember how many people. And the ones, they did three groups. One was getting just 4 to 5 hours, 1 4 hours, a group that was getting 6 hours, and a group that was getting 8 hours. The sixth group, their decline, there was a dramatic decline. It happened over a six-week period. And they had a scientific test that's used for all kind of sleep research. And after 6 weeks, they were 25% less capable of doing these tests than the group that was taking 8 hours sleep, Thomas.
I believe it. I mean, you know, Darren Hardy of Success Magazine, I saw him speak recently, and he said that even when it comes to multitasking, which technically doesn't exist,
people attempt it,
but multitasking reduces your IQ points lower than somebody that's just smoked a marijuana cigarette. Wow. So multitasking makes you dumber than smoking dope, according to Darren's research. So, I mean, and I think you're right. I mean, it's just natural. I look at athletes. Athletes set a great example. They are paid to rest and recover as much as they are to perform, because if they don't rest and recover from their workouts and their training, they can't perform, and they're getting paid high dollars these days to perform. And if, and they, that's how I get my example. I mean, if Tiger Woods needs to work out, get his sleep, have a coach, and he may not be the best example these days, but you know,
He's been a busy boy in other ways, hasn't he?
And that might've been from sleep deprivation, but yeah, I would agree with that research that you have to be on your game. We're making a lot of big decisions for our business, and we're helping our clients make big decisions for their lives, and I don't take that lightly. So I believe it, we owe our clients our best mental and physical state, and that's what comes from putting your tools down at a certain time each night. Again, what works for you? This is how I do it. And it's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think, to be serious, folks, burnout in this industry is a really serious topic. And obviously, if you're a new agent, you know, the hours and the investment you're going to have to put into this is going to be large. but it cannot continue forever. And it will abruptly end either in ill health or total burnout. So I would once again listen to what Thomas has said. And a lot of it is setting up boundaries from day one with clients. And then if you get a client that consistently breaks those boundaries, that should be a considerable red flag to you. Would you agree to that, Thomas?
I absolutely agree with that. That's kind of the filter that for me. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a loss of business. When I have a client that looks at me and says, hey, the only day I'm willing to work is on looking for a house is on Sundays. I say, great. I have a partner that I can refer you to. She works Sundays. So, you know, I don't have to lose the business, but I don't also try to capture all the business or every dollar. I have a life and then I have a business and I have to run both efficiently. And sometimes that means saying no to a client, but also giving them over to a referral that I can still make a referral fee from and they get served properly. So everyone wins.
Well, I think we had over 20 questions, folks, so we've only covered 5 or 6 of them. we were worried, but I think we love some feedback from you if you really enjoyed this format. We're probably going to have a go at this over Christmas because we're going to do a similar episode over Christmas week. And I think it's been fantastic, and I think hopefully you got a lot of value. So, Thomas, how can people get hold of you?
Sure. Well, today I'm going to give out my email address too, because whether you agree with me, disagree with me, or have questions for me, you can reach me at TJN, my initials, TJN at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com, or just go to my website, thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. You can also find me on Facebook. I would love to hear your feedback. Believe me, I can handle the debates. I learn a lot from debates as well as agreement and disagreement.
They also will find you very active on Active Rain, won't they?
They will. And Active Rain, you have public access to that. You can go onto my website and click my blog, and that'll take you to Active Rain, and you can comment on blogs there. I welcome any conversations that come from this.
That'd be great. And folks, if I'm the same, if you want to email me at Jonathan, at Jonathan, that's JOATHAN. Yes, I've got one of those names that you can spell 15 different ways. At mail-right.com, or Twitter me at my personal Twitter feed, which is at Jonathan Denwood. There's also a Mail Right feed if you want to see that as well. And we're going to be more active on Facebook. We're hopefully going to do a live feed soon of Facebook of this show at the same time, where you'll be able to watch us and ask us live questions. And I'm going to be a lot more active on Facebook over the coming months. So hopefully you found this. Give us some feedback if you found the format interesting. I thought it was great stuff. And we'll see you next week. We've got hopefully a surprise guest. But really big name in, how would you describe it? In the philosophy of how you should run your business. Somebody, to say he's a big name would be a slight understatement. So hopefully they will be joining us next week. And you will be getting more insights about how to make your real estate business more effective. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving.